Supreme Court gets back to work in earnest today, hearing a case that gun owners are paying attention to. And what else is on the docket for this season? Well, we bring in CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Always great to catch up with you, Thane.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning to you. Oral arguments in Garland versus Vanderstock are today. This is centered around ghost guns. Can you explain this case?
It's an interesting case, Tom. It's actually not a Second Amendment case, even though it's a gun case. Why? Because the court's not actually talking about whether people have a constitutional right to a gun. This has to do with the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Bureau, a regulatory agency of the government, that basically says that, you know, yes, we have allowance for guns, but they need to be registered. They need to be, the parts need to be licensed, and the people who buy them need to have background checks. Now, ghost guns are not really guns, but then again, they are guns. Why are they ghost guns? Because they come in a kit. It's like a model kit. They all are separate pieces, and when you buy them, you put them together. I guess it's like when you're a kid, but the difference is these things are actual guns. None of the pieces are serialized, meaning they don't have serial numbers on them. In order to buy them up through the mail, you don't have to have a background check. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is saying they're guns. You should be required to have a background check, and each of the pieces should have a serial number on it. That's where the dispute is, right? The people that manufacturers say these are not actually guns until they're assembled. They are therefore untraceable firearms with no numbers associated with them. And the argument is that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is overextending its power by putting them in the same category as guns.
Thane, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've had some recent cases related to that regulatory power. So looking at those, can we glean what the court might do in this case?
Good one, Megan. Really good one. Yeah. It was just last year. I might have been on your show. Probably was. That was something called bump guns. Bump stocks. What are bump stocks? Well, yes, you have a Second Amendment right to guns, but we do have a federal statute that says nobody has a federal right to a machine gun. Machine guns are not for regular people. They're for wartime purposes. And so that statute's always been in effect. Bump stocks are a regular rifle that is retrofitted, outfitted in such a way that when you pull the trigger, I guess it's like the old TV show, The Rifleman. You guys are probably too young to know. Big TV show, Western in the 70s. A guy got a shotgun and he figured out a way to make it fire multiple bullets every time he just pulled the handle, right? And that's what bump stocks do. They somehow allow a gun to fire multiple rounds. And so the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms said, those are machine guns. Come on, you know, if you can fire more than one round every time you pull the trigger, they're not an actual gun. And that's what the regulatory agency said. And the Supreme Court came back and said, no, they're actually not certain machine guns, because the reason it fires multiple shots isn't because they're automatic. It's not because of the machine. It's because of your ability to pull the trigger that many more times. And so, therefore, we're not going to ban them. We're going to treat them like guns and not like machine guns.
Thane, the second big case comes out of Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors. So far, how has this case gone?
Well, we don't have an oral argument on it. It'll definitely be this term. My guess is after the new year. It's a big case. There are not that many big cases. You know, the blockbuster cases are spare this year for a lot of reasons. By the way, guess what? Supreme Court has only announced 40 cases that they would hear this year. Normally, it's like 80, right? What happened? Are they on vacation? They'll probably add more. Some of the reason, I think, may have to do with their fear that they're going to get involved in the election. They don't want to be, but they may get a lot of emergency cases both before and after the election. The Tennessee case involves half the states in the country. Half the states in the country ban surgical procedures for gender dysphoria, which means gender confusion, where you believe that you want to have a sex change, and they ban them for minors, not for adults, for minors. They say that there should be special rules restricting surgical procedures, special rules referring to puberty blockers and hormone treatments. Why? Well, kids, sometimes they're trying to do this without the permission of their parents. It's irreversible, right? It can't be done. Once you do it, it's undone. It's an adult decision. It's not a children's decision. Those people that support the procedure say, this is a real disease, gender dysphoria. The idea that, you know, you're assigned your gender at birth doesn't mean that is your gender. And everyone has an equal protection under the law, and you're denying people of a certain age the right to have this procedure, to have hormone blockers. And Supreme Court's going to decide whether these kinds of sex changes actually do have a state interest, a compelling state interest, that would override the Equal Protection Clause.
You mentioned the number of cases that the Supreme Court has and basically has not taken up. Are there any cases that the court did not accept this term, you know, that we can glean something from, maybe why they did not accept more cases?
Well, that's another good question. There were a number of cases that dealt with sort of abortion-related decisions. There were some other kinds of voting rights cases. They just added cases just the other day, right? They added an additional 15 cases, one of the interesting ones. I'm saying it's not like they locked it in and it can only be 40. It's just that up until Thras, you know, remember, most people don't realize this. 99% of all the cases that are brought before the Supreme Court never get heard. I think it's like 97, actually. That means when people say, I'm going to take you all the way to the Supreme Court, they're fooling you because they can't. The Supreme Court only hears a few 3-4% of the cases that are filed for requesting to be heard. So it is interesting that given so many few cases that they actually hear, that they cut their docket in half from there. There was a time that they would hear over 100 cases a year. They've come down to something 80 or 70. Here's one that they did add the other day that might be of interest. There is a statute in the United States that protects the tobacco industry from lawsuits and criminal prosecutions for the crimes and injuries caused by their guns. It protects them. It insulates them. It says, look, we make the guns. We are not responsible for the people shooting the guns. The country of Mexico is now suing all seven of the major gun manufacturers. Every single one of them says, you know what? When we have to fight the cartels, you know what we only find? Your guns. We don't find anyone else's guns. No other country, not our country. The drug cartels love your guns. And we know that you're specially marketing to our cartels. You may not sell them directly, but you figure out a way to market it to them and get it to them eventually. And we're holding you responsible for our drug trade problem. That's an interesting case, right? This is not Americans suing the companies. This is a foreign country.
Thane, the Supreme Court turned away a challenge from Republican state lawmakers in Pennsylvania to a Biden administration executive order intended to boost voter registration. They get these appeals fairly regularly, don't they? I mean, didn't they just reject some others from Republicans?
Yeah, Tom, that's what I meant before. I said, well, what are the ones when Megan said, you know, which are the ones that they haven't heard? There are cases that are working its way through the system, and they have rejected some of them related to election laws. And I think they're going to take some of them up either before or after the election. They just rejected the one that you talked about. So people forgot that, you know, in the 2020 election, you know, obviously huge controversies. Some courts ruled, you know, there was no widespread fraud. Well, widespread fraud means that, well, maybe there was fraud, just it wasn't widespread fraud. We radically changed election laws to accommodate the pandemic. People don't remember this. No one voted by mail before the pandemic. It was only if you were in the military or if you were living as an expatriate in another country. Very few people, a couple million. 2020 election, tens of millions, more than half the country voted by mail. That's going to happen again this year. A lot of voting rules were changed, things that we never heard about, ballot harvesting, mobile pickups, you know, rules about how you fold the envelope. You know, do you have to have an envelope within the envelope? How do you have to verify it? So these issues around verification and identification and access to voting, right? The idea that can you only vote in one place or you can go to various multiple drop-off spots? These issues are still very much in contention. Republicans generally want you to show up in your car with your driver's license and stand in line like we used to do. And Democrats, generally speaking, have opened it up to making it more possible to vote in multiple different ways. And that is something the Supreme Court might hear again this year.
Thane, thanks so much for your time this morning. Always good to talk to you.
Same here. Thank you.
That is CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us on KMOX. It's